everyone, and welcome to Scott Swahey's Best Music of 2023 podcast, when I'm joined once again by Fiona Liddell from Gethergeist. Hello, Fiona.
Hi, Ali. Thanks for having me back. It's great to be here.
It's always a pleasure. And how it works is that we have each picked 10 tracks to talk about, and we're going to take turns along the way. There will be a Spotify playlist, which I'll be linked over at scottswahey.com, so you can go and hear all the music we are about to talk about. Before we get into the specific tracks, how was your musical year?
Oh God, it was really good, actually. I think, yeah, we did a lot of, we mainly did a lot of gigging this year, really, more than anything. We wrote a lot of stuff as well, but our main focus was getting the live set sort of, just really like clockwork, basically, and trying to get it as tight as possible and to do as many gigs as we could to actually have like a goal for it all. So I think we've achieved that. Yeah, we gigged all over the place in Scotland this year. We're going to take a wee break, I think, at the start of next year to work on the album. I think I said this last year, we're going to work on the album, but now we're actually going to work on the album this time, hopefully. And that should be out sort of summertime, if we're being really generous, but knowing our release schedule, it'll be out in 2035. So I don't know.
Well, whatever it takes, I'm looking forward to it. So let's kick off with your first pick, which is?
It is Hot Blondes in Your Area by Logan's Close. This is a band that I've sort of been in the same circle with for a long time. My previous band, Echo Birds, ran into them a lot, and now I run into them at Stramash all the time when I'm playing with them, my wedding band. And they're always just such nice guys. And when I saw they got an album come out, I was so excited for them. It was funded, I think, by Creative Scotland. They did like a crowd fundraiser thing where if you meet like a total, I think they either match the total or give a percentage to it, I don't know. They recorded it out in Hamburg, and just some of the footage from that is just hilarious. Like, they're just really funny guys, especially with the album artwork, which is just them in a jacuzzi looking very kind of, you know, worse for wear. And they've got a big video about how they made that, and it's just really hilarious. And they sent me the album through. A lot of my picks, to be honest, this year are from albums. They're just kind of excuses to plug albums that I really liked, to be honest. Yeah. This is one of them. I've always been, I've seen them live for loads of times over the years now, and they're always really, really impressive. Their harmonies are always incredible, and their sort of tongue-in-cheek way of writing songs has always just really impressed me as well. And it's kind of like, yeah, nostalgic but modern at the same time. They can bring a lot of like that sort of Scottish humor to these things, even though some of the subjects are quite depressing. Like in Hot Blondes in Your Area, it's quite a depressing song when you just look at it lyrically, but it's got so much humor in there, and the music's so kind of bright and very kind of like British Invasion sort of style that it just kind of makes a joke out of itself, which is sometimes you just need that in your music, I'd say. So I really like the song.
I was really pleased you picked them, because I'm a big fan of Logan's Close as well. Funny enough, they're a band I keep bumping into in places.
Yeah,
as well.
I know.
In bars.
They're very active, yeah. Well, of course they're in bars, of course.
Yeah. I'm just walking the streets. I nearly always bump into one or both.
I don't think they're ever apart, yeah. I think they're always together, to be honest.
And again, I've seen them live a few times too, and they're just, it's a great night out, isn't it?
It really is.
A fun night out. They've got the whole kind of 60s feel going on, but I just learned today that they'd recorded in Hamburg, and I thought that's taking your 60s obsession to another level.
To go out to Hamburg. That must have been on the funding application. Like, no, we need to do it in Hamburg because that's what they would have done. That's an excuse for that.
And this is a great example of what they do so well. It, as you say, there's a kind of sense of fun. It's lyrically really interesting. It's got those harmonies. It's got that kind of beat music vibe going on to it, and it's really typical of the album as well. I think if you enjoyed that track, you'll really love the album too.
Yeah, I think so. It's definitely one to check. It's one of my favorite albums of the year, I'd say.
Okay, well, my choice is The Joy Hotel and Jeremiah, which again has a kind of retro feel to it, I think.
Yeah,
I mean I really love this song from when I first heard it, and I'm not sure who the voice is at the beginning. It's, you know, there's a kind of spoken word bit at the beginning. And I tried to look that up, and I think it's taken from the Bible. So I'm going to presume it's some Glasgow pastor. You know, there used to be loads of these when I was growing up who would be shouting the odds on Sucky Hall Street. But talking of voices, I think M. Woods, who sings on this, has just got one of the great voices in Scottish music. It's incredible. And actually, I feel it almost needs a seven-piece band behind her to kind of support that voice.
Yeah,
And
it's a big
did it brilliantly
voice.
well. The album, I looked, because there is an album supposedly coming out, and it's supposed to come out in November, but it seems to still be on pre-order on the website. So I just hope that's a delay, because I would love to hear the full album of what they do. I've heard, I think there's been three singles, and they've all been outstanding.
They've, I think they talk about filming. They filmed their recording process. I think they're going to release a documentary along with the album, which I'll be curious to see how they managed to capture that sound, to be honest. It reminded me of, this might be derivative, it reminded me of the Manic Street Preachers for some reason when I heard it. Possibly because of the male and female vocals, maybe the ones that I've heard by them were quite like that. Also quite 60s, 70s kind of country-esque when you get the two, like Emmylou Harris and somebody else, kind of reminded me of that as well. And yeah, her voice, it's as you say, it's one of the probably the best voices in Scotland right now. And yeah, in that track specifically, it reminds me a little bit of like early Janis Joplin, I don't know, something like that. It reminds me of that, and the power behind it as well. And again, it's another song where the lyrics are really interesting. It's quite, they're telling quite a sad story again, but the chorus is weirdly uplifting, and it, yeah, kind of like gives that sort of maybe preachy is the wrong word, maybe like praisey sort of thing. It kind of reminds me of that, like a chant or a praise kind of thing. So yeah, it's another really interesting pick.
Almost like the heavier side of Paul Weller as well, kind of going on musicianship that's happening, which is fantastic. You know, I think it's a really well produced track too.
Definitely.
Yeah, I hope that we get the album, and a documentary would
Me
be
too.
Fantastic to see
this
that.
This is the first, this is the first I'd heard of them. I think they've had a fairly big year by the looks of it. So hopefully, the album is out next year and we can all enjoy it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Talking of big sounds, what's your name? We've gone big at the beginning of this.
I know, it gets subtler as you go through, I suppose. My next one is Tom McGuire and the Brass Holes and their song Unshakable from the album Stay Rad, which was out this year. And Tom McGuire is one of those bands that I think have just kind of cracked it. They've just got the formula down of like creating these big bombastic numbers, but have really intricate musicianship and really great arrangements of their songs every single time. I've never heard a single one that's lacking in that regard. I was really a big fan of O Savannah that came out, I want to say 2021 possibly.
Right.
That was one of their singles from that year. And since then, I've just, like followed all of their releases since. I've not managed to see them live though, but from what I see, it looks like, again, like a big party, like an absolutely massive, this is the party before the end of the world sort of thing. It looks like a big event every time when I see them. There's a band I'm a fan of called, they're an American band called Ninja Sex Party. It reminds me a bit of them, where they have, again, it's quite funky, very intricate sort of arrangements and stuff, lots of little times where the musicians can just, you know, really show off. But Ninja Sex Party is a bit more self-deprecating, whereas this is obviously more of a tongue-in-cheek celebration of like yourself and what you've got going on, which I think we all kind of need to hear. It reminds me a lot of the times of like when people ask you like, oh, how you doing? You're like, ah, not bad, it's all right. But you could just say, you know, I'm rad as fuck and I do cool shit. That'd be something to
say. I was
going to
say, this is perhaps the song with the most swearing in it outside of Scottish hip-hop. That's the people that could rival this.
I'm usually not a big fan of that, but in this I think it does make sense. It
We've
kind
got a
of
couple
adds
more
to
coming
that.
up between us.
We do, yeah, that's true, yeah. That's true. But yeah, it adds to the sort of attitude of it, adds to the strut of the song, I think. And yeah, if you're thinking of like speaking to any young person in Scotland, they're going to swear like at least every three or four words, so it kind of adds to the
absolutely
culture, I think, as well.
Tongue-in-cheek and just joyous. And I think you're right. This has been a real breakthrough year for Tom McGuire and the Brass Holes. I think they were really affected. I mean, everyone was affected by lockdown and stuff.
Yeah.
But there were certain bands that were just about, I think, to take that next step. And I think they were one of them. They've always sounded like they should be selling out the Barras. And now they did. At the beginning of the year, they did.
Yeah.
But they've always had, whether they were playing the Hugging Pint, you know, they always had that kind of mad, big, as you say, almost like wall of sound going on.
Yeah, it really is.
But
picturing
when you
the
listen,
room where that was recorded, it just sounds like it'd just be like Usher Hall sort of place. You need to fit everybody in there.
But when you listen closely, you see that it's all been played beautifully as well. And almost a supergroup themselves, you know, Joy Hotel are a bit of a supergroup, and Tom McGuire and the Brass Holes, when they get everyone together and playing on stage with the people doing the backing vocals and all that are really, you know, it's a real great example of what the talent in Scottish music at the moment.
Really is.
Well, as I say, we've started with three biggies. This is going to take things down a little notch, and it's Elephant in Red and Honey. And the first time I heard this track, it was kind of love at first listen. I just absolutely loved it. It's kind of that mid-American, almost stoner rock.
Yeah, you got a few like that in here.
70s, but through a kind of 90s prism. I was thinking of bands like Calexico and Lamb Chop and Iron and Wine and all of these bands that I used to listen to. It's kind of really, it's not in a hurry to get anywhere. You know,
no, it's very kind of meandering. Like,
black
nice
and
breezy,
and I just absolutely loved it. This was their only release in 2023, and I'm really hoping that that means there's going to be more coming up in 2024, because if it's like this, then I'm really here for it.
You're sold on it, yeah.
Absolutely.
I couldn't think much about this band, because I tried to have a wee look and see, you know, who was in it and stuff, but I couldn't really find too much in looking at them. But I loved it as well when I heard it. It reminded me, I've written down Iron and Wine as well, and here of just exactly what it reminds me of. Also a little bit of kind of Elliot Smith sort of vibe, but less depressing, which is kind of nice. They've described it as, the one thing I found was they've described it as a result of a series of short, sporadic evening sessions, each part lovingly layered like a scrumptious lasagna, which I thought that was quite a nice description, the scrumptious lasagna part.
It's a musician, I think, called Luke Pavanagh, who had done solo stuff in the past, but this is his kind of putting the band together.
Project.
There's not a lot out there about them, but that's something that's kind of quite appealing.
That's exciting. Yeah, it's mysterious, isn't it? It sort of gives it more of an appeal. No, I really enjoyed listening to this track. It's one of the ones I've had on repeat since we made the playlist together. I hadn't heard it before, but no, I really, really enjoyed it.
It's one of those tracks which I've been putting together the kind of radio shows for the end of the year, and choosing, and it's every time I play it, I'm really glad I put it on. I really love this track. It's fantastic. And and I think it is just that kind of really mellow feel about it, you know, that runs,
it chills you out pretty much instantly when you put it
chills
on.
You out, and that's no bad thing.
Yeah.
What's your next choice?
This is another one I didn't actually know that much about before sort of starting to look for my songs of the year, and I found it actually in one of your old playlists from this year. I was just sort of scrolling through so I could find anything. It's True Love Ain't Easy by Andrew Patti. Honestly, anything in 58, and that's just an educated guess on the title, by the way, is going to get me hooked, to be honest. Like, as a big fan of like very prog rock when I was younger and that kind of thing, I really like a weird time signature, especially one that can be done and is also catchy and well produced, and it just is somehow simple, even though it's in that weird, like, not quite on the beat sort of space. I like it. I like the synthiness of it as well. It's really well produced, and the drum performance is amazing. And again, live drums with electronic synths, just, I don't know, really gets me. And this is the opposite of the sort of Honey track. It sort of gets you kind of like a little bit more revved up, I think, than the other one. Andrew Patti, I think he's going to release an album next year, and if it's anything like this, then I'm really excited for it.
This is just sheer class, I think. I think it really is. And I'm interested when you said the drums, because he plays with C. Duncan. Liam Chapman also plays with C. Duncan. He's the drummer. And I wonder whether maybe he's played, because Andrew plays on Liam Chapman's album under the name Whim. Liam's released an album at the beginning, and I could have picked something from that, actually. Which, again, is very kind of, it's very 70s yacht rockish. I know we're not talking about that, but it's got that kind of feel. Andrew Patti's almost
nostalgic.
Yeah, absolutely. He also plays with BMX Bandits, Isabel Campbell.
I saw that. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so, and he was in a band called Honey and the Herbs, who aren't around anymore, unfortunately, but it's worth checking out their stuff, because they were great. Really, really good. Really melodic, really kind of harmonious. Kind of almost, you think there might be old dust on their instruments, kind of playing, that kind of feel about it.
That's fair. No, I love doing these sort of bit like 10 tracks of the year things. I always go away with like more than 10, like all these artists involved and all these other great bands. I go away with like tens and tens of new artists to listen to, which is great fun.
Well, actually, one of the reasons I love it is because you often pick tracks I completely forgotten I'd played.
There
You
you
know,
go.
and I go,
Yeah,
yeah, I would have
that's
picked that if
good.
I'd remembered. So it really does
Yeah.
work that way,
Let's
definitely.
go with those. I saw that he also supported Rudy Zugadlo this year, and I'm really annoyed that I missed that because I really love Rudy's on my list last year. He's
Yes.
released an album, I think, as well this year, possibly. That I do still need to check out.
Yeah,
It's just
what's
a
the
big
shift in?
list of stuff that I need to check out and get more involved with. But yeah, really bummed to
Yeah.
miss that show.
I spoke to him for the radio show, Rudy, that
Oh
is.
yeah.
And I think that was this year, so I think you're right.
Yeah. Need to check that out.
So this next one, I know we're not picking absolute favorites, but this might have been
No.
my favorite songs. If it was, it's definitely an incredible debut because it's Catchermantle's first and at this point, I think, only release.
All right.
It kind of draws you in with the music and the voice, and then you listen to the lyrics, and it's just beautiful lyrics and heartbreaking lyrics as well. I'm getting to the age where I tear up easily, Fiona.
My dad's the same way. Sorry, not to
But
say you're close
this
to the
did it
age.
for me.
Yeah.
This really did it for me. What did you think about it?
I hadn't heard it before listening to the list, to be honest, but you're right, yeah, it kind of it drew me in. I thought it was going to be like a quite electronic sort of track in the vein of sort of Josephine Siller's sort of thing. They got a similar kind of voicing, I think. But then it sort of developed and it brought more kind of folky elements in it as well with electronics, and I always love the mix of those two genres. Lyrics wise, I thought, yeah, it was telling a very vulnerable yet simple story. So it wasn't, using a lot of imagery or metaphors. It's very much just kind of felt like a glimpse into this person's life. It's not entirely clear whether we're talking about a friend of hers or herself. It could be either way, so it's a bit vague in that way, but it just feels kind of like, yeah, kind of diary entry a bit. And yeah, it sort of proved to me again, it's something I've learned over and over again this year with writing lyrics, is it doesn't have to be, like super like ambiguous imagery or very like clever and stuff only you can really interpret. It doesn't have to be that. It can just be really relatable and simple, and that in a lot of ways does hit harder sometimes. So I think, yeah, big lesson to be learned from her debut one, and I'm excited to hear more from Katya.
She's involved with the University of West of Scotland music
I
courses
saw,
down
yeah,
there.
Becky Wallace posted about the one happening next year, and she listed Katya as one of the people who was in it last year.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking about maybe taking some time in January to apply myself.
Well,
It's a release course. It's free, I think, as well. So if anyone's interested, definitely give it a
definitely
look
go
on
ahead.
University of West of
And
Scotland.
some of the people that have come out of that university's music courses, because there's more than one, have just been fantastic. It's really doing some great stuff.
That's great.
Becky and Davy Scott and other people that are lecturing down there, they do some really kind of great work.
No, I'm curious to check out myself.
I'm so pleased that you picked this next one because it's not what I would think when we came to pick songs of the year. Explain what it is, and then I'll give you my take on it after you've spoken
Yeah.
about it.
So it's a Change of Plan, which is from the musical A Mother's Song by Finn Anderson and Tanya Azadevo. I wanted to pick a track from this musical because I just think the idea of it is so beautiful, and the songs themselves are really beautiful as well. Finn's done a show before called Islanders, I think, which is also an incredible soundtrack. You should check that out. I don't think it's on anymore. But A Mother's Song, it debuted earlier this year. I think it was at Mac Arts Centre, and I
Was
missed
yeah, I
it.
went along to it.
Did you? Oh, good. Okay, I'm kicking myself because I didn't see it, and I really wanted to hope they bring it back. And yeah, I love Finn was on my list, I think, either last year or the year before with this song Skin, and he's just got this way of blending like sort of traditional folk and heritage musical stylings with more modern genres like musical theatre. And when I heard these songs and in this release of the soundtrack, I was just really, really taken with it. And it was like you with Katya's song. I start to, when female harmonies come together in a beautiful way, I just start tearing up really badly. And this was it for me. And the subject matter is something that, like the musical itself, it could be applied to right now with somebody, or it could be applied 600, 700 years ago with somebody else. And just how the same sort of issues come up again through for a lot of women and how it can transcend ages. And I'm just, if it comes back, I really want to see it, because I can't believe I missed it. And it's such a beautiful musical the way it's been written. I really want to see it on stage.
I hope it comes back just so that you can see it, because it was absolutely magic. It was just, I mean, it was just a great production in terms of everything, the costume, the very clever use of staging, because it jumps across geography as well as across time and all of those things. The fantastic songs. I actually had Finn and Tanya on the podcast, on the Scotswahili podcast, to talk about it. And it was fascinating to talk to them. Yeah, it was one of my events of the year, and this reminded me of it. I hadn't forgotten about it, but I wasn't thinking about end of year music. I wasn't really thinking. Are you a musicals fan in general?
I think when I was young, I really was. Like, I got really into things like Spring Awakening when that was about, and the last 5 years, this was when I was like a teenager. I don't know, everyone was into it back then, but so was I part of the herd. Yeah, I was really into it. And then when Hamilton came out a few years ago, I was really into that. Yeah, I think I am. I don't want to admit it, but I think I am into musicals.
You're amongst friends here. You're amongst friends, because I'm a big musicals fan. My dad was.
How do you write something like that? It's just so, it's everything at once. It's just all the different like flavors you have to add. You have to think about stage, you have to think about lighting, you have to think about costumes, acting, choreography, everything. You have to write all of that and plan it all out. If anything goes wrong, the whole thing's messed up. Just how do you plan that all down? It just, the amount of work that has to go into it just always amazes me when I listen or when I see a musical. It's just the cogs that are turning, the intricate cogs of musical, are just, they overwhelm my tiny brain, I think, a lot. So I do like it for that reason.
Yeah, the pressure that people must be under on that opening night.
And then the emotional connection it can still make afterwards, even though you know in the back of your head this is a million things at work here, just hearing the songs themselves, it can just hit you really hard. And it's amazing that much work has to go into it, but then it can just create a really vulnerable, very overly emotional moment sometimes.
Yeah, and absolutely. And as you know, since you picked it, the songs work on their own as an album, you know, that we should say that as well. Okay, my next one is a bit of Scottish hip hop. It's Jazz Unsung by Conscious Root, Superman on the Beat, and P Castle. And lots of great Scottish hip hop this year again. Yep. But here are three who seem to work harder than almost everybody else. Conscious Root and Superman on the Beat, Roland Bradbeer and Sanjeev Mann, respectively, seem to release music almost every month. They probably did.
No.
Every month, but almost always in collaboration with different people as well. And the collaboration in hip hop at the moment really impresses me, because it does seem that people are finding new people to play with and new sounds to use and all of those things. This is a great example, because it does take the idea of jazz and references it in the lyrics, but also has the music playing through it as well. You know, I think this is a really class piece of music, to be honest.
It's really stunning. Like, it's an amazing collaboration. As you say, there's been countless fantastic hip hop collaborations this year. It was hard. Like, I picked one as well later on, you'll see. But it's just a very small example of how strong the scene and how collaborative the scene is right now for hip hop. Like, they're constantly releasing amazing tracks. It's really ridiculous, their work ethic. It's just mad. And as you say, meeting up and finding things that are their strengths that are different, and then bringing them together is creating some really exciting new songs and new sounds for hip hop.
So next from you, this is another great choice.
mine is Golden by Cola from her album Romance, which was out this year. I just had to pick a Cola track. I really, really enjoyed this album when it came out. She's whoever, I don't know, not entirely sure who produced it. It might have been Cola herself, but the way that she's created this kind of, in this track especially, a very big, like, vacuous space, like, just of this huge, it sounds like she's in a massive, massive room. And there is obviously production stuff going on, but the spacing that's been created in this track just really impressed me. Like, it sounds huge, but not like that much is really filling that space, if that makes sense.
Yeah, kind of intimate.
Yeah, intimate, but massive.
Yeah.
Really strange. And just her singing style is something that it's just a really, anybody who can sing really well and kind of with a quiet vulnerability, I'm very jealous of, because that's very much, as you'll know, something I can't do. Like, I'm very much a loud singer. So I'm always really impressed by, I'm very impressed by her technical ability as well, some of the higher stuff and the runs and things like that, to do that in a very subtle way. And it just sounds kind of like completely effortless and flawless. It's just very impressive. And the vulnerability when she's singing as well, is impressive. And yeah, I think people have called this album sort of like, a timeless, yet modern classic and that kind of thing. And I really agree with that. She's really done a great job of capturing sort of this sort of Hollywood starlet kind of nostalgia, but throwing it into a more sort of sexy and modern 21st century place.
The whole album, you're right, it sounds effortless. I mean, clearly it isn't, but it does,
No.
it's difficult to do that, isn't it, to pull that
Very
off.
hard.
I've loved Cola's music. It's a since Flux, which came out in
Oh yeah.
20. I think Touch from that might have been one of my tracks of the year that year. Now I was thinking about how to describe this, and this might not sound like a great description, but I mean this in the best possible way, kind of smooth. There's a jazz touch to her voice, definitely, and I can
There is.
imagine George Benson kind of playing guitar on some one of her tracks, but it's that kind of, it's not polished, but it's beautifully
Kind of given a smooth coating or
smooth touch. Yeah,
something,
that's
yeah,
it. And I want to
smooth
make
down.
clear, I really mean that in a positive way. It's just a
Not
gorgeous, and
shy.
of course, Cola's involved with the Pop Girls Collective as well. If anyone wants to know more about that, check out Pop Girls with a Z online, because they do really great work.
They do, yeah. They're lecturing all over Scotland, I think, this year, which is great, just teaching more and more people about, well, I think, well, how bad streaming is, and also how to navigate the sort of more modern world of being a female artist.
Yeah, it's a stunning album, Romance, the whole thing. If you like, again, pretty much if you like any of these tracks, you're going to love the album they're from. That's the
I've
thing.
cheated. I'm just saying, go listen to the album for a lot of these.
Yep. And another sweary bit of swearing from us this year with Samuel
That's
Nicholson
true.
and Gummy. It's taken from the brilliant album, another brilliant album, Birthday Suit. I knew Samuel as a member of Frankie Moro's band, fantastic group of musicians. And their song Crave actually could have made this list quite easily. Yeah, they're a real collective. I think they're all based in London, but all kind of people who knew each other up in Scotland, first of all. Some of them, I think, went to school together. We talked about Frankie Morrow last year, didn't we?
I think we did, yeah, that was one of your picks last year, possibly. Or mine, I can't remember. Somebody picked it, but yeah, great band,
It's a well-done one.
regardless.
And Gummy, this track in particular, reminds me again of songwriters that I loved the 90s and noughties, like Matthew Sweet or Josh Rouse or two I was thinking of. It's music made by someone who knows exactly what they want to do. You know, there's again, like the Cola album, there's a real confidence
There's
in
a
the playing
vision,
of
yeah.
this, a real vision, yeah. And it goes to the and like Cola as well, it goes to the way he looks, the way, you know, and he's quite dapper on the album cover. It's really kind of thought as a whole thing, you know, as
A
an
package.
album, as you know, that goes beyond the music.
I didn't actually know there was an album. I tried to look him up as well, and again, couldn't find too much on him. But no, when I heard it again, I wasn't familiar with it before. It was on the list, but yeah, gorgeous track, really, really gorgeous. I've written Iron and Wine again, I'm afraid. Meets Bruce Springsteen, because that kind of the delivery of the vocals reminds me a bit of that. The sort of, yeah, I don't know, the melody as well. It could be like a modern sort of Bruce Springsteen track, I think.
It's definitely got a kind of American
Yeah, American, I'd
POR
say,
feel to it. You could imagine it, well, if the stations allowed swearing, but you could imagine it on the
maybe.
radio, that kind of
Good.
thing. And of course, you know, Gummy is an American Indian mu movie as well. That, you know, I think there's all sorts of kind of a and the whole, you should check out the album Birthday
I
Suit. It's
will, yeah. I
really
couldn't find it, but
worth
I'll
it.
grab it.
Yeah.
And also just the line fruit machine flavourings just really got me. I think that was very clever. Very clever line.
It's a clever album. I like him a lot. And it was a real surprise to me because, as I say, I knew he played with other bands. So this kind of solo album that was so good, really kind of stood
Maybe
out.
I should do a solo album. Goodness sake.
Yeah,
Everyone's
it's about time.
doing it. I know, it's
It's
fair. Yep. No, I love this pick. It was a really, really gorgeous find. I'm really happy you brought it because, yeah,
about time.
I'm going to check out more from Samuel.
And if we can't expect Geffergeist album to fit, what, 35,
There you go.
2035, then when are you going
Yep.
to put it?
Might as
Now,
well.
This next one is completely new to me. I don't know the Jigsaw at all. And Scorpion, you tell us about it.
So the Jigsaw are a Scottish old folk band from Edinburgh. They're a four piece. I have kind of rigged the system a little bit again because the drummer of it is actually our drummer in Geffergeist as well. This is his other band. They made a name for themselves playing lots of ceilidh nights around Edinburgh, I think, and they've actually played overseas as well a couple of times, I think, in various different folk festivals. Their album is due out next year, I'm pretty sure, but they've released three singles from it so far, and Scorpion, I think, was one of the first that they, maybe the first one that they released. It's just, yeah, for some reason, as a folk player, as a fiddle player, I don't really listen to that much fiddle music. And when Dave sent me this through, I was like, why don't I do this? Because this is cracking. Like, this just, it's just a huge journey through various different genres, through different styles, all kind of held together by the thread of Pete Menzies, like just different little like reels that he plays through it, that he's performing so well. He's an insanely talented fiddle player, as Pete Menzies. Their album is something I'm really excited for next year, because the guys have all worked super hard on it, and it's just such a strange, well, I say strange, unique, I guess, unique take on yeah, ceilidh music in general. And it's really imaginative the way they've done it as well. And I know they're all incredible musicians who play in a variety, like all the bands on here, a variety of different outfits. But I think Jigsaw is going to be one of the strong, going to have a really strong year next year with their album coming out. So
Oh,
if they're not, if you've never heard of them, get hearing them because they're really good.
definitely. This is a huge track.
Yes.
I mean, the only band I could think it sounded like to me was the Treacherous Orchestra. That
Yeah,
kind
that's
of
a big
feel.
influence, I reckon. Yeah, I know them.
Right. I mean, it is ceilidh music, but it's ceilidh, this track in particular, because I did go and listen to the other ones, are not quite as full on as this, but it's ceilidh music meets hard rock, almost, isn't it? I mean,
That's
it's
it.
huge. I mean, you're talking about prog. There's a bit of that going on in there. It's just, you've got to go and listen to this, people listening. You really have, because it's not like anything I've heard for a long, long time.
No, Dave used to play in the band Irvanovich back in the day. I don't know if you've heard of
Oh,
them. Yeah, he was like, and they did a bit of kind of math rock sort of thing in there with some of their music, so it probably is a big influence for them. If you see, if you do see them live, Ali, you might want to, I don't know, wear like a pillow protector or something around you, because it's basically a big mosh pit when they go for it. It's such a party. It's really, really fun. I recommend if anyone sees Jigsaw, gets a chance to see Jigsaw play live, it's something to check out. It's a really,
Yeah,
really
I've
big
written that
band.
down here. I was going to ask you if you've seen them live, and you have, because I would love to. You know, clearly, it's just that you, as soon as you hear it, you go, God, I'd love to be there.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a big advert for like, come see us live because it's gonna be cool.
And a band who I was supposed to see live for very reasons, for some reasons I didn't make it, was this next band, Big Girls Blouse, and Everybody Nearly Dies All the Time, which speaks directly to my inner indie kid. Absolutely. It's really life affirming to me to kind of just hear a band making this kind of rough. I mean, they proudly call themselves a punk band, and that's exactly what it is. I would love to see them live, because I bet it's a great night as well. It's from the EP called Man Up, and every track on it is a great thing. I think Emmy is the songwriter, and she writes great songs. Every song is, if you really want to listen closely to what's being said, not just how it's being said as well, because you can get lost in the kind of fun of what's going on, but you know, there's some good points being made there as well. What did you
Yep,
think of this?
another one I hadn't heard of before the list, and I'm really glad again that you picked it, because I've written this probably the catchiest song on this list. I've been singing it kind of constantly since I heard it. It sounds like they're just having fun. You're absolutely right. It sounds like it's just a really fun time. And again, another quite tongue-in-cheek song as well. There's some humor to it as well. And also, it's one of the best band names I've seen in a long time as well. That's hilarious. It's so good. And it fits a punk band really well. Just sort of like a very kind of like sort of like, it's an insult, is it, for a weak person, isn't it? Like an
Yes,
old sort
that's
of
right. Your
style of
Big
that.
Girls Blouse,
And it's a punk
absolutely.
band. That's really clever. And Man Up is the EP name. That's really good. It's great. No, I really enjoyed listening to this one. I've had it on repeat since we made the playlist, to be honest. And I think I'll be checking out the EP as well. Also, I've just written down that drum fill sort of halfway through. Just, yeah, it really gets you going.
And I mean, you're absolutely right about listening to it over and over. It came out back in
Yeah.
January, and
Oh, wow.
I've probably listened to it every week since, because you said, I
Pick
just want a little bit of a bit like how
me up, hi.
Elephant in Reds calms you down. This kind of lifts you up, but kind of yes,
Gets
isn't
you up.
it? I want a wee pick me up. I'll listen to this.
No, it's a really fun song. Yeah, it's gonna be on rotation here, I think, as well.
What's your next choice?
So, it's Postcode Prom Queen, a song from their album, Music for First Contact, which was out earlier this year, called Wheeling Through the Void. It wasn't actually one of the singles, weirdly. I think I just probably listened to the album enough times, and this one just stuck out to me as being one of my favourites, I think. It's so the album, the idea of the album, I think, is was exactly what the title says. It's music for getting into contact with extraterrestrial life, I think, is the idea. So it's kind of a really interesting, they've kind of entered their, again, we're saying with prog, Pink Floyd kind of era, I think, with this. It sounds very different to their other stuff, but also way more kind of spacey, but also traditional. They've got like opera singing in it, and they've got sort of saxophone, really beautiful string parts as well. They're really up their game in a lot of ways with the arrangement of the tracks here. And I think with this track in particular, it kind of gives you again a really nice taster of what the album's gonna be like. So if you like this one, you definitely want to go back to the start and listen to the whole album, I think, and just go on this really strange journey. And yeah, just Lily and Gordon have really upped their game with this album, and yeah, I've enjoyed listening to it on repeat. It's not really a pick me up, I guess. It's more like kind of introspective,
To
or
think.
rather extraterrestrial journey through this. It's more of a cognitive journey, I guess, rather than like one to like be particularly overly like emotional about. But I think yeah, it really asks some interesting questions, or asks questions of the listener that are yeah quite just fascinating, really. It's a fascinating piece of art, this album.
It's existential and extraterrestrial, both of
Yes.
them. It does that. Funny you should say that because I've written here. This sounds like the album that Lily and Gordon have always been working to in all ways.
Oh yeah.
And I was lucky
Good
enough
way
to
of
see
putting
them
it.
do a night at the old hairdressers in Glasgow. It wasn't really a gig; it was kind of a happening. They had
Yeah.
their posters on the wall. They had, it
Do like the
was.
happening.
I mean, I've seen them from the early days of L Space. I've followed them and.
Wow.
They've really kind of they always do something new and do
Yeah.
something different. And this is a great example of it. They did release singles from it, but I'm with you.
Yeah.
This works as an album, perhaps more than any other album that we're talking about. It really is it's a concept album, really.
Concept album, that's what I was looking for. Thank you. Thank you, Ali. That's what I was looking for.
I love the album, love Postcode Prom Queen. And yeah, the gig was probably my favorite gig of the year because it was
Wow.
just they'd really
An
gone,
event, yeah.
and yet in a small space as well, so it kind of worked in two ways.
Yeah.
Right, it's me next, isn't it?
Yes.
We're getting to that stage where I'm losing track a little bit. So this is Dot Allison and Unchanged. It's from the album Unconsciousology, where Dot has worked with Andy Reilly, who was the guitarist in Ride back in the day. Also Zoe Bestel and Amy Bowman, who is Mango Lassie, who we spoke about
Oh, last year,
last year, are on it. It's a gorgeous album, and this is just one example of it. And I mean, it's not as simple as it. At the beginning, I think you think this is going to be kind of esoteric and dreamlike and everything, but then it's got a kick at the end as well. I've been following a Dot since One Dove. She was in a band called One Dove in the early 90s, then her solo work, and then she's collaborated with whole loads of bands like Death in Vegas. But she's kept on releasing solo material throughout that. Her last album, Heart Shaped Scar, is absolutely gorgeous as well. And this seems like a major release to me. It seems like a really kind of big release for Dot, and I'm so pleased. What did you think?
Another one that I hadn't clocked, I should have clocked it because I know you're a big Dot Allison fan. As am I think you picked one of her songs at one point of the year, or it was on your show, mate, at one point, and I was very struck by it. This is another one where you're right when you're saying it starts quite small, actually starts very, very small, and then when you get to the chorus, when it's just sort of starts chanting a little bit, it just changes into something again, kind of heavenly, like it almost just opens up like a flower kind of going like that, and just opens up into this bigger musical idea, and it's just like, yeah, wings sort of spread on this song. It just feels very kind of uplifting when you get to that point, and then there's the sudden change again to a different rhythm in the middle point, and having going, hang on, what's going on? I thought we were doing this, and now we're doing this instead. So yeah, I quite like how she's not afraid to really play, not afraid to play with different musical ideas in the same song. So it wasn't the same thing the whole way through. It kind of kept growing and developing as it went through. And now, yeah, I know there's an album. I'm gonna go check that out because I didn't know it was a whole album.
There's a kind of shoegazy feel that might have come with Andy Bell being involved. And we called Music for First Contact I've just lost
Concept
the word,
album.
concept, that's the word,
Yep, I could
concept
find it and then you
album.
found it.
And this is kind of a concept album as well, I think, with the themes of nature and that sort of thing. Yeah, again, do check out the full album. It's been a great year for albums, hasn't it?
Yeah, that's why I struggled. I couldn't pick something that wasn't from an album.
Yeah, well, this next one isn't from an album, I don't think.
No, it's a individual release. It's last time I checked by Chef the Rapper and 80. 80, I think, was one of, I think she won either SAMA's sort of pick of the year or the Say Awards, something like that, in the last couple of years. I can't really fully remember. And Chef the Rapper, he's released a couple of collabs again this year, like with Conscious Root and Superman on the Beat before. He's done one with Catherine Alley, which is also fantastic, and that was nearly on here as well, but I picked this one instead. Again, more collabs from artists in the hip hop scene, and bringing their two strengths together to create, yeah, some really incredible tracks. This one in particular, it reminded me a lot of sort of hip life or high life stuff I used to listen to again when I was in uni days. And the track itself, there's not like a, it's not particularly like groundbreaking story of like, it's very like a modern, it's like a modern, I don't want to say fairy tale,
No.
anti-fairy tale, I guess, with the two different sort of characters telling their side of it. Yeah, when 80 comes in with her verse, I just kind of feel kind of lifted at that point as well. It's very much a highlight of the song for me is 80's verse midway through. Yeah, it's simple but really, really clever. I love the production on it as well. It borrows a lot of elements from other genres that I really like that are sort of hip hop adjacent. Yeah, and I just love to see again more collabs from artists in the hip hop scene. It's really incredible. It's been a great year for them.
I agree with all of
Yep,
that.
okay.
you've said in a different way, kind of what I was going to say.
Yeah, sorry.
Chef the Rapper, no, not at all. Chef the Rapper is a great rapper, but it's IT's vocals that kind of take this to another level, I think, and that really stay with you. And then you've got this kind of almost Spanish guitar loop that's kind of playing throughout. And I think, again, it's deceptively simple. I went back and listened to it a few times because I had missed this when it came out. Yeah, and it really rewards kind of repeat listening too.
Definitely does. Again, it's another lasagna thing. Just the
That
more
was Anya
layers
thing, yeah.
as you go through it, yeah.
And it's one of these ones again, you just want to you it finishes and you want to go run back to the start and put it on again.
Gonna have a repeat.
Yeah, fantastic. Right. So someone else that you could say you want to listen to over again and again is Nathan Samevi. This is Vanessa. It's from his EP Brave, which is made up of four tracks. And to be honest, I could have picked any of them because they are just so intricate and interesting. What a guitar player the man is.
Oh,
He plays live as the Nathan Samevi Trio. We had him on the radio show when the EP came out. And what came across is that he really loves to push himself and try new things. So I don't know what he's going to do next. But yeah, this was an astonishing four tracks of music. It's a great release. If you like your jazz, you will love it. I think even if you don't like your jazz necessarily, you can real marvel at the playing that's going on it. What did you
yeah.
think?
Another one I hadn't clocked. So thank you again for including it. When I first heard it, I was taken back to my more kind of snobbish uni days where I listened to nothing but Tom Misch, and that was it. And that's as far as my jazz knowledge goes, is Tom Misch, and that's terrible. But I was reminded of a lot of that. So with my limited knowledge of jazz, I really enjoyed it. So if you don't, if you're not particularly into jazz, this is still for you. It's still an incredible track. Again, musicianship wise, and he is a hell of a guitar player, and the arrangements of everything else is also really intricate and really, really impressive as well, I think. But still has kind of, even though it's jazz, it's not, unapproachable, I guess is the word. Like you can't, you're not going to go into it and not get anything from it. Like there's very much a clear hook going through it. Even though it does change and it sort of like jazz does, it goes from different directions sometimes. It's still got a very clear beat and a very clear thread running through it. So I think as yeah, as someone who's got a limited knowledge of jazz, I appreciated that. It was really, really a very genius way, I think, of bringing jazz to maybe a slightly wider audience, I think, probably as well. And I know there was an EP, I'm going to check that out as well.
And he had an earlier one which came out in 2020, which is worth checking out as well. I think
Okay.
he's fantastic.
I'll
And
grab both of them.
I think it takes him a long, now I respect this. It takes him a long time to put out the next lot of music because he's so, I think,
It must
focused
take
on getting it
ages.
exactly as he wants to.
Aye. Must take so long. No, I very much understand that, especially working with my woman other half. Exactly the same way.
And I think that's another example. We've spoken about it before, about how, for me, in my humble opinion, jazz in Scotland has never been better.
Oh,
For all
wow,
the
yeah.
reasons that we spoke about, as we spoke about with hip hop, they're crossing genres, they're collaborating with each other, they're doing new things live. It's amazing. So much great stuff going on still.
Great.
Next for you. We're getting through there. We're getting there.
We're getting there. So my next one is the track Sacred by Finn Brody on their EP from this year called Home Run. It was produced by Andy Monaghan, I think of Frightened Rabbit fame. Finn Brody, originally in Edinburgh, now based in Glasgow, I want to say. I've followed Finn for a wee while, just kind of on social media, to be honest. Like I've heard a couple of his tracks and thought they were beautiful, and then stuck on the EP. I don't know when it was. It must have been on a drive somewhere, and just unexpectedly started tearing up. Don't know why. Just hit me, just hit me. Sometimes you just need a good cry, and I think Sacred is a very good example of the sort of power of Finn's songwriting, and what he can do. Also his voice is just again another kind of like Cola, where it's like very kind of vulnerable and soft, but still there's a lot of emotion and a lot of power behind it, despite the fact that it's quite a soft voice, if that makes sense.
I think that's really interesting. I was going to mention the voice as to the reason that you might have started tearing up, because
Maybe.
there's something really kind of simultaneously strong but vulnerable about it, I think. And the production is, again, it never o overshadows the song. It lets the song kind of stay there. I was so pleased you picked this because I'm a
Okay,
big fan of Ben
good.
Brody. I just love his work, and the EP itself is worth listening to. I've been listening to it again recently. For kind of picking end of year stuff, it's so good. Another great songwriter, but beautifully sung as well. You know, those two things together.
I reckon so. Yeah, and it just you can just like, kind of visualize with the artwork being like a beach for me anyway. As somebody who grew up kind of near a beach as well, I can visualize a lot of these kind of nostalgic images, like old family pictures and stuff and things like that. I can just see the whole EP in my head. I don't know why, but
Yeah,
just
I
very
kind
simple
of know what you
production.
mean. It's almost like it's in sepia or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, there's something old.
Something
Old-fashioned
old,
isn't the
but
right word, but I know what you mean. Yeah.
Feels like a family photo album a little bit. I don't know why. It just kind of it's just that's what's in my head. Again, I quite like art where you can just take your own thing and put it on there. Might not have been the intention, but
I'm thinking to the cover, it is almost like it's not just that it's a picture, but a slightly faded photograph.
slightly, like a sort of rubbish scan or a Kodak from God knows when.
Yeah.
No, I like it.
Now, in this next band, this next choice, I might have to pick your musical knowledge, because I don't think I have the words for the kind of things that I want to talk about. So
I'll try, I'll try.
it's Hairband and Unconscious Rivals. So good to have new music from Hairband. Big fan of theirs. Again, a great band to see live. But yeah, there's something really clever going on, and I'm not entirely sure I do have the vocabulary for it. So what do you think when you listen to
Not
it?
sure I do either, to be honest.
You know
Like,
what I mean? It's kind of like Talking Heads.
it's a big mix of stuff, yeah. Talking Heads.
There's kind of the drums and the bass, and
Yeah.
I was
It's
thinking
kind
about
of
bands like.
Duran Durani for some reason to me as well. I don't know why. Maybe just because of the reverb or the different vocals coming in and out. I don't know. Reminded me a bit of that as well. It's another one where it's layered. It's like loads of layers going on top of each other
That's, I think,
to
what
create a
I.
really colorful image, a sonic image, I guess.
That's what I was aware of. There's a lot of layers going on, and I just wasn't sure how they were being layered. It's a lasagna when you don't have the recipe.
No, God, that doesn't sound very good, actually.
Well, I was thinking kind of Public Image Limited, fronted by Isabel Campbell. But then it made me think, actually, there is some, it's like a funkier Belle and Sebastian thing as well they are going on. You know, there's a lot of them on stage, different, you know, all almost all doing their own thing. I know that's not right, but coming together to produce this amazing whole.
No, I agree
That's
with
kind of
that.
what I feel about it. I've got today. I've worked
There you
we've
go,
worked
you
it
found it.
through. We've
You
worked
found
it
it.
through.
It's not a lasagna, it's a roast dinner, because it's like
Yeah.
this thing happening here. Yorkshire puddings, they're doing their thing, so on and so forth, coming together to create something that's, you know, greater than the individual parts, maybe something like that. I don't know.
Something like that. Yeah,
Why
absolutely.
are we just, did we both skip dinner? What's happening here?
I
Why
think
are we
I'm going to
still
say I'm
talking
really
about
needing
food?
to get fed soon now.
No, I loved it. Again, a band I haven't heard of before. Even though I think they had an album out a few years back, their
Couple of
debut
years
album.
ago, yeah.
Whereas this one is called, I think it's Under the Plough, this one's
Under the
called.
plow,
Yeah.
yeah.
So after hearing this, I need to go through and dig into the whole lot. Again, dig into the whole lot. Because yeah, it's a very, very clever, this song is a very, very clever piece of music in the way it's layered up everything. Even though it's, yeah, again, deceptively simple. I'd say you hear it once, you think, ah, it's, you know, another
Yeah.
indie rock song, that's fine. But then the more, again, repeated listens, you just catch more and more things as you go through it. Really,
Yeah,
really
it's that
clever.
kind of a lot of the indie bands actually from the 80s that were doing something a little bit different, like Gang of Four and like Public Image Limited and stuff like that. That's a kind of in their heritage as well. But you can just listen to it
100%.
and love it and not, you know, try and pick it apart like we're
Yeah,
doing.
no, it looks like they've done really well as well. Like, I think, yeah, their new album. I'm not sure if they're playing live too often. It says in their Instagram currently not playing live, but that might be out of date. I don't know. Because I presume new album means launch date, but who knows?
I saw them play live when the last album, before the last album came out, and they were great. So hopefully
Oh,
they'll
great.
go out and do stuff again. Right. Your final choice. We've got to that.
Yeah, we
Well,
have. I don't know how to pronounce my final choice, I'm not gonna lie. I think it's Black Cullen.
yeah, I would go with that.
Okay.
Perhaps Cullen, that color.
Cullen might be
I
Cullen,
don't
might
know.
be Quillen. I think I read Quillen the first time, so yeah, shows how much I know about Scottish words. It's by Duncan Chisholm. And I just got a bit of a I'm staying at my parents' just now, and I just got a bit of a row from my dad for not having heard of who he was. Apart from this album, which is I go as a fiddle player, apparently, again, a terrible thing to admit, but I'm just gonna do it anyway. Hadn't heard of Duncan before. He's had a 20 plus year career playing amazing fiddle. This was the first album I heard by him. I've been branching out more into my fiddle music this year, and Duncan was obviously one of the ones that caught my ear. And this song in particular, I can't really, every time it comes on, I have to just listen to it the whole way through and just stop what I'm doing and just listen to this, because I think it's just such an incredible piece of music. It's another, and like kind of like Finn, but in a different way, taking trad folk elements, or very much trad folk roots, sorry, and bringing in modern elements to create, yeah, a really unique, different sound that sort of just brings it sort of screeching into now, while still maintaining that, again, very heartfelt, or I don't know what it is about, but yeah, it just sort of, it tugs at my heartstrings a lot, even though it's got this modern element to it. It just really just sort of pulls me in a really, just I can't really resist that kind of blending of electronic and folk. I just can't, yeah, get away from it. But yeah, Duncan, I'm sorry, I'll check it all out now. Sorry.
it's funny because the first thing I'd written was even I had heard of fiddle playing prowess of Duncan.
Sorry,
There you
I
go.
picked him thinking, ah, it'd be nice, like an indie artist. No, he's massive. So, sorry.
I'm
Ignore
so
those
glad
big
you did pick
small
it.
ones.
It's so haunting, this piece of music. It's
That's the word.
fantastic. I've listened to some of the album after listening to that track because I hadn't heard it, and I've only dipped into it, but as you say, there's electronic stuff going on, there's piano going on, there's strings. It's quite a big production on the whole thing, isn't it?
Yeah, another one where, again, I can't really imagine sitting down and writing and recording all of that. Like, the intricacies of the arrangements are so just far beyond my brain is able to think of. But it's as a whole piece, as a whole sort of piece of art, the album again just paints this sort of very vivid picture in my mind of like a lot of like dark blue sort of nights and with stars and things like that. It just paints like a very kind of Scottish picture to me, but also a lot of like weather elements as well. I don't know why. Again, with instrumental music, I just start making up my own images in my head. But yeah, for me, a lot of very beautiful, very like scenic paintings and like landscapes of sort of Scotland come through. And it, you're exactly right. It's haunting, but a little bit twisted in the electronic direction. And it's, yeah, just that interesting mix. Just, yeah, just really just lights up my brain with just color and images. And yeah, I really, really like it.
There's a lot of people are kind of doing, that stuff and doing it really well. But for me, this really captures its subject matter as well. You can imagine being out on the Coolins or up, wherever you might be, and this in your ears and hearing this music, and you might hear it coming from almost nowhere. It's really quite
Yeah, like a
spooky in a way.
ghost, spooky ghost coming in
Yeah, yeah.
with
I
that.
was going to ask you where to start with Duncan Chisholm, but we could just
Don't
start
ask me. Ask my dad, I guess. We'll just
again.
start together. He knew. He was really surprised and angry that I didn't know who he was.
Interesting. As someone who plays, as soon as you hear
Yeah.
him playing, do you kind of go, oh yeah, this is special?
Oh yeah, I think that's very much the case. Like a lot of my picks has been a lot of fiddle, and it all played very beautifully. But I think with Duncan's playing, there's definitely something special about how he's handling the fiddle, because it's not the jig show. It's very like bombastic, and that is also Pete is incredible at what he does. But
Yeah.
Duncan, I think, is incredible at what he does as well. From just hearing just the very brief album I've heard, I've got a huge 20-year discography to go through now to
So much
discover
to look
more
forward
about
to.
it. So much to look forward to. I missed. To be fair, I'm like in my early 30s. I don't think I would
Exactly.
have been around when I was 10 listening to fiddle music.
Exactly.
I don't know.
So my final pick and the final pick from both of us is Pippa Blundell and Sisters. And I thought I would finish with perhaps the most beautiful track I've heard this year. Certainly the EP is a four-track EP and each track is gorgeous. It's really sympathetically produced. We couldn't be further away, I guess, from Tom Maguire and the Joy Hotel right at the beginning in terms of,
It
what's
shows
going on
our
around
range.
the
It shows
song.
how many different things we like. It's
No,
great.
exactly. It really does. It's interesting to read that Pippa was going to be an opera singer. I think,
Wow.
yes, she trained at the
Right.
Royal Conservatoire and got,
Oh, wow.
I think, and I think you can hear there's a strength that's there in the voice, but not, again, as you say, to go big and loud, but almost to go quiet. But the strength's in being able to do that and
Yeah.
convey the emotion and everything that goes through it. Yeah, this is a first EP, I think. I am really excited to hear what comes next from Pippa Blundell because I think they're really special songs. And this one in particular is another one that yeah, it moved me, put it that way.
Yeah, definitely moved me too. Again, another one I hadn't really heard too, and I sort of had caught a couple, I think, but not too many and not in any detail. But I'm very glad you picked it, because as I'm going to be boring again, but as a singing teacher, her technique, obviously now I know she's been trained. I was going to say her technique is incredible, because she's able to, yeah, support her voice and hold it in a healthy way. But yeah, deliver this beautiful, almost, it sounds a bit like an alto sax or something to me. Like, I don't know, like the voice just sounds so just well controlled, but also emotional at the same time. It stunned me. It felt a lot like I don't know why, it just felt a little like Billie Holiday a bit, I guess, like back in that, even though it's not very jazzy at all, but it's got that sort of, yeah, vulnerability to it, but still that strength and that control. And like, I know what I'm doing about my instrument, and I know exactly how to get it to do exactly what I want to do. And yeah, I was really impressed by the control. And you're right, the production is, it's very flattering, I think, to that sort of vulnerability that Pippa's showing on the EP. It's not trying to overpower her. It's not really trying to like, well, obviously it is impressive. They're not trying to impress anybody with it. It's just very, very like stripped back and simple and reflective. I think Pippa's described it as like sort of the whole EP is like a reflection on the ever-changing idea of womanhood and what it means to her. And yeah, you can kind of, yeah, with this song in particular, it does kind of encapsulate a lot of the ideas that are spread throughout the EP. Again, if you like this, you will like the whole thing. As Ali says, go listen to it. It's a beautifully simple but vulnerable exploration of womanhood. And yeah, Pippa's voice, I'm really excited to hear more, because that I've not heard a voice like that in a very long time. That's just so well used and controlled, but also is still very personal to the singer. It's not, opera singers that there's a way to do that. There's like a, it's not, it doesn't take away, it kind of takes away a little bit of the personality of the person performing it, but Pippa's managed to take that and make it her own voice, I think, which is really impressive.
Think so. I think opera's loss is the rest of our gain.
That's fine.
That's what I would say. That's us for another year. Fiona,
Gosh,
thank you so
wow.
much.
No worries, it was great. Again, not just 10 more artists to listen to, but you know, hundreds and hundreds, I feel like, at this point, with the amount of bands we've mentioned.
Yeah.
A really great year for Scottish music, I think. There's been so many that I thought I'd heard quite a lot, but I missed so many.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Amazing. It is amazing. I think more is getting released as well, which can be problematic in terms of
Fair.
bands, you know, being heard. But some of the quality is just incredible. I mean, we really have between us just scraped the surface of what's going on. So do go
It's
and check out
obviously,
the albums.
like it's very personal picks. It's not the I keep going in thinking I'll be objective this year and think what I think is objective. It never works. I always have to go for the ones that just make me feel something. It doesn't mean, you know,
Yeah.
it's you know the pinnacle of music, but I really like all of my picks very much, and I like your picks as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's always great to do this, I have to say. Remember to go to scotchray.com and the link to the playlist where you can hear all the music we've been talking about. Fiona, have a great Christmas and New Year when it comes, and I'm sure
You
we'll do this
too.
again next
Yeah,
year.
I'm sure we will.
And all going to plan, we'll be back soon with our Best Films of 2023 podcast. So I will see you then.